This is Father's Day. And one would almost expect that the message would be on fathers. Father's Day is not particularly a happy day for me. It's happy because I'm a father. But I never knew my father. I knew him for the first 11 years of my life. And what I know of my father for the first 11 years of my life, things are not pleasant. My father died when I was 11. He and my mother were separated, and he drank himself to death. One of the things that ring in my ears again and again as I think of my father is that the doctor told him if he wanted to live any longer, he had better stop drinking. And of course he didn't. And at an early age of 33, in fact, he was not yet 33. He died in August of 52. He was going to be 33 in September, September 10th. And I will never forget the time when I became 33. They were talking about wanting seniors for the... What are you laughing about? For the trip, if you feel like a senior, well, I don't feel like a senior. I have a 16-year-old girl driving and a 1-year-old son walking. You don't feel like a senior citizen doing that. But I'm going to be 50 this year. And people ask me the question, how do you feel knowing you're going to be a half a century this year? And I say to them, I feel wonderful. I'll tell you why. Because every year after my 33rd birthday, I lived 1 year longer than my father. Every year. And so it is with somewhat of a mixed feeling that I come this morning. And for some reason, whenever I speak with people who have lost a loved one, especially a father, I could say to them, I know what you're going through. The only difference between you and me, you have happy memories, I don't. I cannot say that I do. I remember a few memories, but not a whole lot. And so as I share with you this morning, I am not sharing with you as one who has all the answers to fatherhood. In fact, I'm keeping away from the statistics. I am dealing biblically with the text as God intends us as fathers to be. I shall never, never forget the first time my daughter asked me to help her with her homework. It was one of the most exciting times in my life. Even though I did not understand the subject, it was exciting because I could never think of a time when I could ask my father to help me with my homework. He wasn't around, and when he was around, I'm sad to say he was drunk. So when Heather asked me to help her, I did my level best to respond because it was the greatest joy that I had expressing the office of fatherhood to my daughter. We're visiting friends yesterday, and friends who were away, and friends we hadn't seen for a while, and he's a new father. And he asked, is there any change at this time in your life being a father at your age? I love that. At your age. So I spare people the problem by just telling them that he is the son of my old age. That covers it. With that introduction then, will you please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Two verses, although I think the context is greater. Psalm 103, 13 and 14. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are dust. Like as a father, says the King James, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frames. He remembers that we are dust, how frail we are. It is my concern this morning to speak of fathers in the same breath that I speak of God. Therefore, the title of the message this morning, like Father, like God. And I trust that God, by His Spirit, will use this word to speak to us as fathers, to speak to us as children, to speak to us as a congregation. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord, Father, so, even so, as the New American Standard puts it. What is it about fathers that is so important? Let me begin before I enter the text to say this, my friends. The importance of a father is this, that it is the intention of God from eternity to convey to the families of earth what He is like through fathers. All through the scriptures, when God wanted to convey something of the family relationship, He uses a father. And it is interesting from our text that He didn't say like a mother. I mean, after all, mothers are the one who are tender. Mothers are the one who are compassionate. In fact, ladies, do you know there's a verse in scripture that says, as a man washes the dish and turns it upside down? I refuse to read that to my wife until we got a dishwasher. It's interesting how when God wanted to convey things, He uses a father. And He says, as a father, tenderly, compassionately, relates to his family, so the Lord. And so God takes an attribute of His, the invisible God takes an attribute of His and places that attribute into the office of fatherhood, and He puts upon fathers the responsibility of reflecting that attribute to his family. What a responsibility. What a calling. Let's look then from our text as fathers as models. Fathers as models. What are they modeling? What do fathers model for their children? Display for them. When He talks with them, when He walks with them, when He shares with them, when He reads with them, what is He doing? He's saying, this is a reflection of God. Look at it. First, as a model, a father is a paternal reflector. A paternal reflector. As you look into the mirror and you see yourself, if you please, when God looks into the mirror of our lives, He should see something of Himself. He says, as a father, so the Lord. As a father. The word for father is a very interesting word. It's only two letters in the English spelling of the word. Ab. A-B. A-B. And the word means to beget or to cause life. To protect or to preserve life. A father is one who gives life just as God gives life. Ab. It speaks, my friends, of one who has the responsibility of bringing into the world an offspring and then caring for that offspring in a unique way as only a father can. What then is God saying? He's saying, if I want to relate to families, if I want to relate to the world, I will do it through one that is called Abba, a father. I wanted to turn very briefly to Ephesians chapter 3. This gives a clearer expression of this idea of a father. Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. For this reason, says St. Paul, I bow my knees before the Father, who is the archetype of every family expression. God says, He is the original Father. And every family, every order on earth, and every order in heaven derives that sense of relationship from God, who is the Father of all. From God, who relates to the angelic beings as a father relates to his children in heaven and on earth. So that the father displays before his children in his home something of the attributes of God as he relates out to his own. The father from whom all gets his name. God is the archetype type of human fathers. The invisible God then shows himself through the visible fathers. I don't know why I'm thinking of it, but it's in my mind. I think of the young man who got in trouble. And the Salvation Army man went to him to speak with him. And he said to him, young man, God is like a father. And he looked into the Salvation Army officer's face and said, Mister, if God is like my old man, I hate him. What a tragedy. He failed to display some of those beautiful attributes of God, so that what he related to his offspring was one of distrust, one of defeat, and one of discouragement. But my friends, the paternal reflector is one who through his behavior, through his communication with his home and in his home, reflects something of the invisible God. Very interesting. I heard it this past week and heard it again. I knew the statement. I didn't know the source of it. But it was Mark Twain who said it, I am told. He said, and I quote, at 17, I thought of how ignorant my father was. At 21, I said how much he's learned in 4 years. Maintain that office in the way God wanted us to, our children would rise up to call us blessed no matter what happened, as we read this morning from the prodigal son. He went astray, but that father reflected something of God. And when that son needed a refuge, he went back to his father. Because his father was a reflector, a paternal reflector of the invisible God. So the father models a paternal relationship with God. Secondly, parental attention. Parental attention. As a father pitieth his children, he places this whole relationship. You are not a father by bringing children into the world that makes you responsible for the life of the child. You are a father by giving and putting into the life of that child those qualities which will make that child know how to live and how to die. That's when you become a father. It is one thing to bring them into the world. It is another thing to so show them the distinct life of the one who has called you to be a father. And there are some things that we need to think about that, as we will in a few moments. A father's priority should be his family. A father's priority should be his family. Turn, if you please, again to Proverbs chapter 1, the book of wisdom. It begins with the home and it ends with the mother. Because of what the father does. Because of what the father says. Proverbs 1 and verse 8. Proverbs 1 and verse 8. The father is talking to his son. And he says to his son, hear my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's advice. That's the word. Hear, my son, what your father says, and don't despise what your mother says. Here's the priority. If a father is going to leave anything for his children, he leaves it by what he teaches them about their mother. The greatest gift we can give to our children, says someone, is how we relate to our wives, how we relate to our children. Listen to what he says. Hear, give attention, open your inner ear to what your father is saying, and your father begins by telling you the dignity that your mother has. Don't despise her instructions. The father's attention is given to parenting. And parenting, my friends, as we see it here, and I'm aware that we're speaking to some single parents, nevertheless, the scripture teaches the father speaks to the son about the mother. And the mother supports the father, and the father supports the mother. And both of them be, as if you please, a bridge to adulthood for their children. A bridge to adulthood. When the father speaks to the children of the dignity of the mother, the children soon come to understand how important the home is, how important the mother is. Dr. Howard Hendricks is one of my favorite men. And he tells the story of his little boy when he was little, running into his house with his friend. As he ran into the house with his friend, he found his father, Dr. Hendricks, kissing his mother. They were embracing right in the living room. And Dr. Hendricks' son said, Oh, good night, they're doing it again. And so the little boy said to Dr. Hendricks' son, do your parents always do that? He said, all the time. You think they're going away? And he looked into his friend's face and he said, how I wish my daddy loved my mommy that way. You see, my friends, Dr. Hendricks provided for his boy a sense of security by what and the way he treated his mother. And fathers, we can never leave our sons a better legacy than the way we treat the mother of our children. His attention is to the relationship and the responsibility of the family. And a lot of stories can be given. So, the father is a model. He models paternal reflection. He models parental attention. And just as a father gives attention to his children, caring, sharing, providing, protecting, even so, God. In other words, God has taken a part of himself and he has placed it into the office of fatherhood, and he has commanded us to live it out. Then let's look at the ministry of fathers. The ministry of fathers. What is a father's ministry? There's an assumption of the ministry. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord. You know, I have the sneaking suspicion that David wrote this psalm after Psalm 51. Not because it's Psalm 103. It has nothing to do with that. But David knew how he had utterly failed God. He knew how he had utterly failed God in his character, in his conduct. And he knew how tenderly God dealt with him. He knew how God had mercy on him. And because he failed, he knew that his children could fail. And when his children failed, he dealt with his children the way God dealt with him when he failed. As a father, so the Lord. There's an assumption of a father's ministry. What is the assumption? It is the assumption that the father knows God. Turn to 1 John 2:13. 1 John 2:13. In 1 John 2:13 we read, and I'll read it. I am writing to you, fathers, because you have known or you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him. And the word know, my friends, can be translated, I am writing to you, fathers, because you understand him. Because you understand him. He remembers our frames that we are dust. Do you understand that about God? That he knows us the same way we are supposed to know our children, fathers. Yesterday I said I was with some friends and they have an 8-week-old boy, Benjamin by name. And I knew these kids when they were little kids. That makes you feel old when you see them coming like that. And so he was excited about his new son. This is a boy with whom I have gone through thick and thin. I used to be up with him in the middle of the night, with him and his parents. Tremendous difficulties. But thank God he has turned out as he is today. Not with my help only, but with others as well. And I looked at him yesterday and I was reminiscing. I could remember the nights when I would get in my car and go to the apartment and sit with them and talk with them and pray with them. And now he's doing well working for Bell Telephone in management responsibility and a new father. And he was proudly displaying his son as if he's the only one that had one. Mine was there too, by the way. And guess what? The son had a dirty diaper. And guess who got the son? Mother did. Oh, that terrible thing to do. But isn't that the way we do it, friends? If there are praise, he bears my name. If there are blames, it's her son. Give it to her. Give him to her. And as fathers, my friends, we too are called. We too are called as fathers to minister so that our children can feel, if you please, and forgive me for the description, our sons, our daughters should feel our hands on their bottoms. They should feel Father's tender hand caring for them, ministering to them, comforting them. Our children should feel our loving hands reaching out to them. There's no reason why mother alone should do it. And I'm somewhat sorry to say that it took my wife's working to teach me this. Remember the first time after we had Heather, I learned to care for Christopher by caring for Heather. But the first time my wife was going out to a WMS meeting after Heather was born. And this is one prayer that God never answered. Please don't let her dirty herself tonight. I did. I really did. I don't want to do that tonight. I mean, at any other time, night, day, or any other place for that matter. And Lois had no sooner closed the door, and the rest you know. Oh, what an experience. I had a father who told me how he took care of it. He said, Winston, the first time my daughter did her stuff, I got a big diaper, and I went into my wife's closet, took a bottle of perfume, and poured it all over the thing, and tied my face to it, scared the kid to death. But my friends, think of it seriously. Think of it seriously. The assumption is that you know. And you understand. And you understand something about that child. A child literally and without schedule or permission gets dirty. What do we do in those moments? It is easy to clean a dirty bottom, if you please. But oh, my friends, when a father is called to show pity upon his child who has rejected his faith, disappointed his life. It is in those moments that we need to behave like the prodigal son's father, who went out and his son assumed that his father knew God. And even though he failed, even though he miserably failed him, he knew that his father has compassion. And you know what's a fascinating thing about that story? The fascinating thing about that story, in the pig pen, the son said this: I will arise, I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. He arose, he went, and as he got to his father, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And you know what the father did? I love the word the King James uses. The King James translation says this: and when the father saw him afar off, he had compassion upon him, ran and fell upon his neck. Sounds almost tragic, doesn't it? Fell upon his neck. Like one of those kids' songs that I will never sing to Christopher, Rockabye Baby. You know that one? I'll never sing that. Down will come baby, cradle and all. Oh no, I won't sing that. I don't know what it means, but it means some kind of a violence to me. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. But the father fell on his neck. You know what the word is, friends? The father, and some of the translations have the right word, embraced him. The father didn't give him a chance to bargain with him. Make me as one of your hired servants because of what you have done. No, says God, you do not bargain forgiveness. Forgiveness releases you from all your faults and brings you to understand that you can fall again. There's an assumption that fathers know God. And I ask you, men, fathers, this morning, do you know God? I ask you, fathers, do you know God? I ask you, Father, do you understand God? If God were to deal with you the way you deal with your children, would you be alive today, fathers? Would I be alive? Oh, my friends, some of us have lovely memories of fathers. Others of us don't. But we can look into the face of the Father after whom all fathers on earth is named, and we can begin anew by confessing Christ as Savior. That's where the real fatherhood begins. The father. The assumption of his ministry. But look at the assurance from his ministry. The assurance from his ministry. As a father shows pity to his children, that is, as a father is tenderly compassionate, so the Lord pitieth them. Pitieth them. What is pity? It means to be tender. It means to be caring. In fact, my friends, from this word pity, in the King James, we get our word to fondle. To fondle. It means to touch. To touch. And we have been swindled in this generation from touching. Because touching has come to mean so many negative things. We don't touch anymore. And when I say touch, even Webster says to fondle means to care for tenderly. To be tenderly loving, says Webster. Gives several definitions of the word fondle. It doesn't mean to interfere with, but because of the connotation, we no longer reach out and touch. And he's saying the assurance that comes from a touch. As a father, pity it or fondle his child. I ask you, Father, have you ever touched your son or your daughter? Put your arms around them. I tell you, I'm learning it. So I said to you a few weeks ago, I wasn't brought up with it. I knew absolutely nothing about it. I hate to even talk sometimes about my father because the memories are not happy. But I learned to dislike my father early in life. Never knew his hand upon my shoulder. Never knew his hands around me. As a father, pity it. As the father fondles. to deliberately touch. I close with a very moving story. I had two, I'll use only one. Playwright Moss Hart once recalled a childhood Christmas when his father took him shopping, hoping to buy the boy a present he would like. The two walked the New York streets, inspecting the merchandise displayed on scores of pushcarts. Hart's eyes were drawn to a chemistry set and toy printing press. But the father, a very poor man, had less expensive things in mind. Each time they would find something the boy wanted, the father would ask the vendor's price, shake his head, and then move on. Occasionally, he would pick up a smaller, less expensive toy and would try to attract his son's attention. But there was no meeting of the minds. Eventually, they came to the end of the line of the pushcarts without a purchase. And then he writes about his father. I heard my father jingle some coins in his pocket. In a flash, I knew it all. He had gotten together about 75 cents to buy me a Christmas present, and he hadn't dared say so in case there was nothing to be had for such a small sum. As I looked up at him, I saw a look of despair and disappointment in his eyes that brought me closer to him than I had ever been in my entire life. I wanted to throw my arms around him and say, "Doesn't matter. I understand. This is better than printing presses. I love you." But instead, we stood shivering beside each other for a moment, then turned away from the last two pushcarts and started silently back home. I didn't even take his hand on the way home, nor did he take mine. We were not on that basis, you see. Nor did I tell him how close to him I felt that night. That for a little while, the concrete walls between father and son had crumbled away, and I knew that we were two lonely people struggling to reach each other. I wonder, Father, if there's a son wanting your touch this morning. I wonder, Father, if there's a daughter wanting you to fall on his or her shoulder and say, "Welcome home. As God has pity on me, I have pity on you. I am going to treat you the same way God is treating me. And if you come home to me, you may be sure you can come home to God." It is the Father's responsibility to so know God and to live out that knowledge to his, perhaps to hers, and to leave a legacy so that as the children grow, they will be able to look back, whether Father is absent or present, knowing that he has left a legacy. I can build my life upon what Father has left me, because my father knew God. Let us pray. Oh God, this has not been an easy word, but I believe a necessary one. Oh, I pray that fathers and daughters and fathers and sons will come home this morning. That there would be the embracing, the touching, the father falling upon the shoulders of his son. The father falling upon the shoulders of his daughter. The sons, the daughters coming home to Father and thereby coming home to God. Oh God, I pray that there shall be a mighty victory in homes represented in this congregation this morning as fathers reflect the paternal and parental beauty of God to their children.
in Christ's name. Amen.